2, 3.
Welcome, Cosmic Explorers, to the Human Design and Astro Club podcast, your celestial compass to self-discovery and personal empowerment. We are going to take you on a cosmic journey where we dive deep into the fascinating realms of human design, astrology, and tarot, where we will unravel the cosmic codes that shape your personalities, relationships, and destinies. Welcome to the club. The manifestor asks to do something when they're younger more than informing is and I think that's to exercise that informing muscle by figuring out boundaries.
Yeah,
is what I've realized, and I feel like the manifestor also really appreciates boundaries because they don't have any. A manifestor loves. I would love to hear a manifestor's. Come for me with this, and like also tell me your thoughts as well. But they love to be put in their place. Love it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Actually, I have a really good piece on this because I had a kind of divergence in terms of like new age language, or cognitive dissonance with the term boundaries. Because me, like people are like, oh, it's really healthy to have boundaries. And I'm like, I hate when I have to erect boundaries. It's so annoying. But I love like standards. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I use them non-interchangeably. Boundaries is what happens when somebody doesn't respect the standard. Like if I say, hey, please be on time and you show up late, I have to erect a boundary. Hey, if we're going to do this again, please show up on time. This is the standard. The boundary points to the standard. Some people can't see it no matter how many times you erect the boundary. And so there's people out there saying like, have good boundaries, have good boundaries, have good boundaries. But in a way, to me, there's a kind of a nail that's being driven in. It's okay for people to disrespect your standards. I hope that somebody hears that and they're like, oh my God.
It was a very 3-5
I've been practicing
thing.
Boundaries. When I really should be practicing standards, because boundaries are really, they're with me. Boundaries are with myself. I'm not going to let you do this to me. It's not you're doing something to me. I'm letting you do that to me. I could walk away. I could move really far away. You know, I could retaliate in some type of way. But again, right? What's PC, what's socially acceptable. And so, yeah. And I also think about my, one of my dear friends who's also 1-4, he's a emotional manifestor, but watching him operate within the realms of what I'm kind of like 45ing on him, like, hey, dude, you got to tell us what you want to happen and ask us when you think you don't know. It's given him so much more of his power back so that he can actually come in and be impactful. Because how it looked in the beginning was he was very much so like tip of the spear dudes. He was the first person dudes would see. He would take them. He would be the last person dudes see. He was like leading everything, because that was how we perceive leadership as men, is like, who's the guy that's holding the most responsibility? That's the leader. And what we realized through working together and synergizing with our human design, right? It's like, I'm a reflector, so ask me how things are going, right?
Yes.
We have projectors. You know, ask them to guide. We have generators who can hold space. So that way now my boy Kale doesn't have to be present at everything. He just has to be like fully present in the moments where he can actually make an impact. Because a lot of the time with manifestors, I realize like, you know, this concept of impact and informing is like, always be impacting, always be informing. It's like, know when to impact, know when to inform.
That
times when
that is
not
it.
Listening at all.
That is it. And I think the manifestor gets mentally hung up about both of those points. Because one, a manifestor is never going to know when they're making an impact until they leave. They will never know the impact they have made until they leave. And when it comes to informing, it's not that you have to tell everybody. It's about reading, like, and I feel like this, and I'd love to talk to you about this with me having an open throat, you have an undefined throat.
and 70% of the population approximately being defined throats. They are so, excuse me, I'm so sorry, defined throats. So tone deaf. It drives me mad. I realized also it is where you are, where the population is the least amount. For example, majority of the population, as I just said, are 70% are defined throats. I've always felt like a freak. And I realized a huge part of that is because I'm an open throat. I have no gates coming from. I'm like, you couldn't have given me one gate, like all the freaking circuitry we have up here. I couldn't get one freaking gate. And then I have also a defined heart, which is also rare. So those are the two biggest places for me where I feel like a freak, because the majority are the opposite. How do you feel about that with having an undefined throat and the majority having defined throats? Is that something you've noticed with that most people can't read a room?
The tone deafness thing is actually hilarious, because I've always wondered what that is, and it's, you know, it's perceived as tone deafness, but I also think it's like, I'll say what I say.
Yeah, say it.
Well, that was it. I say what I say. Like with the defiant throat people is like because I think about my buddy Pasha, and he would sometimes say the most outrageous things at completely inappropriate times, and his inability to like read what he says would do to somebody is one of the reasons people pay him thousands of dollars to spend a weekend with him. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And I feel like a lot of people are naturally like doing the opposite, because they've been told by people who can't handle the truth, whoa, that's hurtful, that's mean. So they become hyper attentive to what's the impact of me speaking what I have to say into the world, and then they suppress that. So it's similar with like how I feel about sacral. Like, you know, obviously I'm undefined sacral, but I respond a lot with uh-huhs and uh-uhs, and I use that, and I've been consciously using it, because everyone says, well, I don't have a sacral, you know, so how do I tune into, can I do this exercise, or can I respond with my sacral? Can I trust my sacral? And I'm like, yeah, you can trust your sacral to pick up shit from other people.
Yeah.
Right. You still got sex organs and digestion. Sure. Yeah. So you gotta learn how it functions and experiment with letting it function in a natural way. And so in terms of, you know, having an undefined throat, like we could put so much emphasis on, you know, what it is that we're manifesting here together, or we could just like enjoy the connection. And this has been one of the most insightful, fun podcasts that I've ever done.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to record that for myself.
I love the undefined throat. And one other thing too, is like, you know, there's this nihilistic, and I love to explore all different kinds of, you know, philosophies, the nihilistic philosophy of like, well, nothing
it's
matters.
Also third line. We're the anarchists. So go ahead.
Exactly. And I have a friend who's, you know, she's a projector, undefined throat, and she and I have the most fun in sense of like, we're making up voices, we're taking jokes like 11 days too far. Like it's there's so much room for exploration. And that's something that, you know, I always call the undefined and open centers, they're either playgrounds or prison cells, right? If you try and turn something that's beautiful and expansive and you try and contract on it, then yeah, of course, it's designed for expansion, less so contraction. And same thing with the focusing of a defined throat. If you try and treat it like, you know, you're always trying to read the room and you're always trying to do stuff that's out of the nature of a defined throat, well, that's where you start to run into like, you know, those psychosis pieces and those not self themes.
What I've noticed with the defined throat is just the holding back of their truth. Mm-hmm. Like I can feel it in my throat when someone is holding back, which I feel like the majority of the population are holding back from their truth. And so
Big
then
time.
I've been conditioned. Oh, I guess I've been too, I'm also I have five planets in Sagittarius, including my son. And I'm just like, I thought that was my problem at the beginning, because I have no filter. but then I have an open throat on top of that. And so I learned very quickly as a child that it's not safe to speak your truth. It's not safe. And so
And
I had to hold back. And then I came to a point where I was speaking no truth to myself.
And that, and it's the thing about that statement too is like it's not always safe to speak the truth in your heart. And another little like distinction I have with the truth, like my truth, I don't believe in my truth. I believe in like the truth with a
Universal
capital
truth.
T. There's the truth, and then we bang our opinions against it. And anything that doesn't break against the truth, that's truth. But like, and the reason I say that too is because a lot of people will, I have to speak my truth. I have to speak my truth. And the same thing, the emphasis is on the thing that you don't want. It's if you just, which is the, how do you say, you don't want a disconnect from reality, right? You don't want the internal authority to be inflated the same way that the external authority is inflated in so many people. A lot of people will have the internal authority inflated, narcissists, shadow gurus, those kinds of people. And so with the truth thing, kind of lost my train of thought there.
Okay.
The my truth thing, when I'm like, how do you say, what were you asking me about for a second? I totally was. I
We were
just
talking
I
about
had to
what
teach a lesson there
originally
real
it was.
quick.
It's okay. Open, undefined throat. Which, where did we even start this conversation? It was ba we were talking about defined throats being tone deaf. That was the original conversation.
Oh, got it. Okay, I remember. The element of safety, it's having a harmony of internal external authority, because sometimes it's not safe to share what you believe is the truth, right? It's not safe to share your opinion sometimes.
I also have an
The
undefined
problem is when
ajna,
we,
so
what's that?
I said I also have an undefined ajna, so it's like everything up here is open for me, and all of this has felt not safe to do because I don't have a definition.
And a lot of that is because for the people that are defined, they've projected not safe onto every element of their life rather than just that element. And this is so important in this piece here because, human design in terms of a roadmap to accepting these parts of ourselves, so much of where we want to go is inhibited by our inability to see where, look down and be like, oh, I'm in a bunch of shit right now. Right?
Well,
Because people
nobody
want
wants to
to
be in
think.
the present.
Exactly. Well, they want to be over there. And again, that's another like Western kind of thing, is it's always about the destination, not so much the journey. But then I would also say that the
Why I
Eastern
call myself
philosophy,
Journey Through HD.
Eastern philosophy is like, some of those guys are like too much journey, not enough destination. And I don't think there's a one size hat that fits all, because naturally we all have our own unique circuitry. And so it's about, how you say, learning how to set the sails rather than control the wind, right? Because sometimes there's storms where I can't even sail in the direction that I want to sail because the storm is completely blowing in a different direction. And a lot of people will try and like, especially my third line ass will like try and find a way to like use that really antagonistic winds to get to where I want to go, until ultimately I'm like, ah, I'm so disappointed, I can't even do it. I'm just going to take my sails down and just let myself drift.
Can we talk about that
And
for
then
a
I'm done.
second? You just getting me something to respond to, and it's something that I actually wanted to touch on. Can we talk about disappointment as a reflector? Because I feel like most people in general, and I think this is just for the collective, really needs to hear this from a reflector. What does disappointment mean to a reflector? And what are, I guess, because you talk about tools a lot. Are you, what is your environment? Can I ask you that?
Wide valleys.
Okay. Ooh, that's why podcast. probably in just the conversations. You love it.
I love them.
My husband's also Wide Valleys. And he created
I
a whole
live in a wide
band in his
valley
office.
too.
You do. That is a bit. I was like, okay, what is this man's environment? I am very, I'm just very big into the variables, and I look at, and especially for a reflector, your environment is key. So interesting. But yeah, can we talk about disappointment? I'm sorry, I went on a little side tangent with my
I'd
environment.
love to. It's funny, I actually had a moment a couple weeks ago with one of my buddies where we had made an appointment. He was gonna give me an ozone treatment. And I was like totally in my own flow and didn't text him. And he messages me and says like, "Hey, are you coming?" And I kind of casually, I was like, "Oh, bro, I'm sorry, my bad. Like, I totally am in my own flow." And he sends me this, he's not emotionally defined, but he sends me this super emotional text saying like, basically, like, you don't appreciate me and this doesn't feel good. You're disrespecting me. And then he wrote some things in the past that I thought were like kind of buried and chill. He wrote them in. And then at the end of it, he was like, "I'm withdrawing all of my help from you." And in that, I felt the first layer of disappointment is always like, "How dare you?" As a reflector, I'm like, "How dare you? I thought you were better than this. I thought our friendship was stronger." It's all these expectations, right? How dare you speak to me in that way? Even if I am disrespecting you, that's not something you send in a text. That's something you have a conversation with me about. And so it's a lot of expectations. And then deeper down the layers, for me, the disappointment always turns into kind of like accountability of like, "Oh, I didn't, not only did I not show up, but I also didn't communicate that I wasn't going to show up." And then also the deeper down layers is like, why am I avoiding that? Oh, well, because maybe there's some things in my gut, because he does insufflation, which is it's like an ozone enema. And I've always had like an iron gut, like I could eat whatever I want. I never gained weight. I was always like pretty, healthy. But now I'm like going to be 31 in, 2 weeks here, less than 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I can feel my metabolism starting to slow down. And so there's that aging thing that and I feel like the not self of like disappointment is, denying reality. Like for me, it's like, I just want to live forever. I want to be young forever, right? But I can't. And so a lot of that disappointment for me kind of stems from that, like denying reality, which I was just talking about. So many people don't want to look down at their feet and be like, "I want to be on an island, but my feet, I'm looking around and this is the sand of a desert." And so instead of looking at the desert, I'm just going to close my eyes and make believe that I'm on an island, which again is the inflated internal authority, right? That delusional state versus the slave state. And or the people that like, go to festivals and fry themselves on acid for 6 years straight, and then they can never come out of the K-hole or whatever. That's so being trapped in that, it's a beautiful dance, because I notice myself navigating a spectrum of like external authority and blame disappointment, and then internal authority, and like kind of like witnessing myself in my own little delusions. And for me, the only thing that has ever like really cured the disappointment has actually been like singing and crying. So I'll any yeah anything that I'm disappointed about, I'll just pick my acoustic guitar up and I'll start singing about it. And typically I will get to a point where I'm like, I'll be singing, like actually singing, and then my voice will start to crack, and all the parts of my voice that I hate or that I'm insecure about, they come out, and I get to hear it, and I get to keep singing through it, and I get deeper and deeper into my own emotion of it. And actually, disappointment in that particular process has been some of the probably the most potent emotional releases that I've ever had have been through the lens
Your
of
valleys. You have to go
disappointment.
into your environment to regulate. So, and it's through the voice, and that's the fifth color of sound is connected to acoustics. So for you to have to pick up an instrument, start singing and playing, it's literally re-nourishing your being, nourishing your vehicle, nourishing your body. You have to go into the valley. It's like the opposing end of valleys is going to be markets. So it's like for you, when things are too selective, or we're it's almost like, and then I think of also this with like sampling and taste and all of that too, like that can throw you off. That's going to dysregulate the system. That's also where you're probably going to escape to, is to the market, right? And but when you're ready to come back to self, you got to come back to the valley. So, yeah, I look at, I mean, wherever there's color, you can transfer. I've been really studying the patterns body transference for I don't know, honestly, for my whole life, because I grew up in my transferred shores. I'm from South Florida. And also I'm dry kitchen, so humidity for me is like a killer. And I felt like after my Saturn return, it felt like I had a noose with humidity. And that's when things really started, my health started taking more of a hit during that time. And I realized when I found human design and I started studying the variables and I saw, oh, we tend to go to the other side of the binary, not just mentally, but physically. And I noticed for myself, whenever I was in a mental transference, my body would move to the shore. And I would find myself at either a body of water or staring out a window and just letting the mind run and create all these mental stories for myself. But it would, when I would come back to my kitchen, that I would be able to regulate. But I had to allow myself to be in that shore setting for a while so that I could see what I'm working on. That's what I look at transference as. It shows us what where we're working. What are we working on? And then once you could you've had enough, you've had enough of sitting in your own shit. Okay, you want to get back to self. You got to turn the body back on through your cognition, through your tonal resonance, and go into your true environment. For me, it's kitchens. Like I always used to do art. Like I've always been just like a natural artist. That's where I also why I became a hair and makeup artist. But I realized how much art is for me to like regulate myself and to be in my truth than it necessarily is for the other.
So funny, because thinking about reflecting on that, this past little episode of mine, I probably spent four or five times as much time as I normally do on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm on an island, so it's
Wow.
pretty small. But then in that, I was shopping for things for my bus, which is, my valley within my valley. And funny enough, so the bus is actually pretty new for me. I lived in San Diego, and 2 years ago I moved here to have my baby. I'd been coming to Maui for like a year and a half or two. And I moved into my partner's place, and she lives just across the stream here, in a little cottage. And there used to be a little 10 by 10 hut that I used as my office. And back in November, the landlord calls me and says, "We have to tear that down. It's over a property line, and we're trying to do stuff with the property." And I was like, "Oh, that's my office. Okay, I guess we have to t can I at least tear it down?" So anyway, I got him to let me tear it down. And I was living on the porch. So I
Oh.
went from kind of like a cave environment to living in with my partner's also wide valleys. But then to going on like in a shore, I would
Yeah, the
consider the porch
porch.
a shore, inside,
Yeah.
outside. And that was a really beautiful mutation, because I got to see like, oh, the hut wasn't my ideal environment. This is not my ideal environment. So it's like, I got to exactly
Sample.
learn by bumping into it and sampling. And that
Yeah,
was
I
actually
love
one of the
that.
first times that I went like super viral on TikTok, was being on the shore, because I couldn't necessarily make the videos that I was used to making. And so, like, and same with the breathing technique and the, boundaries versus standards, your truth versus my truth versus the truth. There's all these pattern interrupts for our mental frameworks, and human design is like the granddaddy of pattern interrupts. So
Yes.
happy that it exists, and that we have the, capacity and responsibility and desire to put this out. I mean, I have the guilt to put it out. I'm like, if I
Are
don't
you guilt
wake up,
motivation?
yeah, I'm like, if I don't wake up the world with human design, I missed my, not missed my chance with Reiki, but I missed the trends. And I was like, I'm not going to miss this human design trend. This is way too
Yeah,
tasty.
it's tasty. I like, do you use that word a lot? I feel like every reflector needs to use that tasty. I feel like, like generators say juicy a lot. I've noticed, like, I don't know if it's, I feel like I was saying it accidentally, and then I realized, oh wait, that's what I'm supposed to be saying. But I feel like reflectors, they should say tasty. That
Well, juicy is actually so there's a lot of different modalities of like vocal toning, but ooh typically comes from like a very sacral place. Ooh, so ju, ooh, oos, juicy versus te, a, it's more in the throat, which is fun.
Yeah, no, I
But
really
I love that word tasty or exciting. I like saying interesting sarcastically because I saw that movie, what's it called? Captain Superman or something like that. Basically, it's like this dad who raises his kids in the woods. And anyway, they're on a bus, and one of his daughters goes, "That's interesting." And he goes, "What do we say about that word?" She goes, "That it's like a make-believe word or not a real word." And he goes, "And why is that?" And she goes, "Because you're using the word interesting instead of saying what you really mean." And he goes, "So what did you really mean?" She goes, "That's annoying." So
I
I like to say
try to use
interesting.
interesting to get my mind to not attach to certain concepts and to allow myself to remain curious, because I think
Yes.
that's the huge that's the biggest problem with the world, is that we cannot remain curious about anything. And I don't know if it's the undefined ajnas and open heads or whatever, open
It has to
ajnas
be.
that are going to teach the world, like, dude, you've got to stay in curiosity. And also first lines, like that was something that Ra talked about a lot, is that if first lines are not staying in wonder, then you've lost yourself.
Right. Yeah. Because everyone wants to get to the master stage. Everyone wants to be a master. And in the master stage, a lot of the times, the reason a master can remain curious is because they're a student of something else. Right? And also in the sense that it's like, I feel like some people are too curious and it's not in their nature. Like I would say probably defined people ought to be a little bit less curious about shit and just trust what they know. And for the undefined people, like, yeah, be more curious.
Stay
Doubt
curious.
what you know. Yeah. So, and obviously nothing is, I'm not an absolutist. I remember I heard
No.
Ross say one time, he goes, "If you have an undefined Ajna, you have to come to peace with the fact that you've never had an interest, an original thought in your life." And
Nothing's an original thought.
I was like, oh, that's like not so bad, actually.
Yeah, but if you really think about it, not, literally nothing is an original thought. And
Yeah,
that's
so originality is less valuable necessarily than being able to acknowledge source. Because it might be coming from a source, like the water's source might be a spring, but the originality of that water is like cosmic,
Right.
right? It might have come on here from a meteor or something like that. And so, but acknowledging like the real-time source is not to say that's like the very genesis of it in the same way that the original God, original sin, that kind of stuff. It's more along the lines of like, where is it coming from in this moment? Right.
What do you think are some misconceptions of reflectors? Let's three five this.
That we're sensitive.
That you're sensitive?
Yeah. I think a lot of people look at reflectors and they there's almost like a pity. Like it's a mix of
Yes.
like awe and wonder, but then also like, oh, you're a panda, you're
It's
like an
like, let
endangered
me, it's
species.
like, we gotta coddle you
Yeah.
and we gotta go like this. Or like, it's just
Yeah.
like, oh my God, I've never met a reflector before. And like,
Right.
people are going like this. And I'm just
Yeah.
like, I mean, there is a little, I will say, there is a little bit of that for
Yeah.
just like everybody, just because it's just like wild to kind of meet another reflector. Like, the first time I met a reflector was actually about 6 months after entering into my experiment. And I was watching this one chick at the gym. I used to go to the gym a lot. Very, it was my kitchen, okay? And
Nice.
I was
Good kitchen.
like, this chick is really, really, really different. She keeps to herself, which I did too, but like in a different way. Like, and I'm like, she moves very slow, but in this very intentional type of way. And I was like, and it looks like she has a lot of work. And I found out that she actually owned a horse farm.
Oh.
which was, I think, brilliant for a
Yeah.
reflector.
Oh,
And so
yeah.
I remember, like, we were on the back of the playground with our kids, and I finally got up the nerve to talk to her. And then I started just like ranting, like with my open throat about human design, because I was just so, I'm like, I need to get everybody I ever meet into this. And then I was like, and everybody would always just give me their birth information. And so I immediately then started asking for her birth information. I saw myself just handing her the phone. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watch yourself, like, let the passenger just like witness what's happening. And
Oh
then
yeah.
she put in her information and I took it back and my mouth dropped. I was like, oh my God, this isn't the first reflector I've ever met that I know.
In the
Like,
wild.
in the wild, like I'm literally outside in the
Right.
wild meeting this reflector. And we became actually really good friends until I ended up moving here. And she was actually what, like, almost was like the mirror that was held up to me on that it was time for me to let go of my hair and makeup career. It was through her.
Hello there, Crystal here, and I wanted to stop you for just a moment and interrupt this episode and let you know about a few opportunities that we have outside of this podcast and YouTube channel. So we do have a bunch of classes, courses, workshops, we do all the things, and I want to let you know first about a few free classes that we have, like our crash course on understanding the transits and planets. And also our tips and tricks to understanding your strategy and authority. And then we also have our fractal family framework sample. Now, we also have, if you're at the beginning of your human design journey or you just want more information, our user manual to your true self, which explains all of the language of human design because it is quite dense. And I also do readings outside of this episode. You can also send me a DM on Journey Through HD waitlist, and I will get you on my list and send you an email for when I do have openings for my readings. We also have an affirmations guide for your open and undefined centers. And then what's coming up in May is our color code variable intensive, a 5-week journey through the four radical transformations that are also called the variables, and we help give practical and tangible information to apply this to your everyday life. And you get a lot of classes on this. Every week we do a live class, and there's also self-paced classes over in the lab and an opportunity to experiment. That's one of our biggest takeaways of our color code variable intensive is the experimentation. So you can check out all of this information down below in the description, and we hope to see you in May. And now back to this episode.
Beautiful.
That I realized that. And I will thank her, like, subconsciously for the rest of my life for being able to, and like, and just by like nurturing me and like being there for me and like having conversations with me that needed to be had and that I didn't know I needed. She was a 1-4 reflector.
Those are so interesting because, like, I feel like as a 3-5 reflector, I personally, and obviously I'm biased, but I feel like I got the best reflector card draw. Like, I think I project that the 3-5 either could have the most fun or have the worst time
Well, I think
ever.
that's every 3-5, and that's why you guys are the most charismatic profile out of all the profiles.
Right. But the
Mm-hmm.
1-4 is like, right, like the fixed fate. Like, my buddy Kali is a fixed fate emo manifester. And I see it everywhere of like people just getting sucked in and roped in, and it's always about him. But he's always like, it's about the community. It's about the community. And I'm
Yeah,
so excited
I
for
see
the
that with
day
my
that,
son too.
yeah, right. And I'm so excited for the day though where he just like lets it be about him in a way so that he can actually move through him and manifest for the community. Cause it,
They
right,
want
there's
to so bad. They want they're such like the fourth line, and especially for manifestors, like they're so just like giving, like and providing. And that's the fourth line is all about providing, right? And connection.
But
So
with providing though, and this is the thing I witness in him, and maybe you see this in your son, is with all that giving, there's a I see for just actually in just my buddy that like there's a somewhat of a an inability or a resistance to receiving.
Yes.
So much giving,
And I think
and even
that's
when they do
also just the
receive stuff, they
manifester
give that away.
with the repelling. Like it's like they, because it's such, a yang energy. Like they don't know how to receive. And I've realized a lot of, and I wonder if, I feel like this is also a little bit non-sacral. And I'm not saying that any of the other types can't do this either, but I've noticed specifically manifestors really enjoy taking baths.
Taking baths.
Yes.
That's hilarious. I used to take baths with my home. We had a big old bathtub, and he had this like special juice that we would like pour in the bath, and we would just sit in the bath for hours and just
He
talk.
was a
That's hilarious.
manifester.
Is yeah, that's hilarious that you
I
say
don't,
that.
it's, I don't, I just noticed these patterns. I'm not saying that they, it can't, seep into some of the other types or other things, but I noticed generalizations of certain patterns. And I feel like for the manifester, the reason why a lot of them, not all of them, but maybe they should, is what I'm realizing. Why a lot of them do take baths is because it's the only time they can be in that yin.
I was thinking about reasons why they might want to take baths as well. That's a wonderful reason. I had the thought that it's one of the ways that yeah, they can actually receive and not be always outputting, because
Yep.
air pressure and water pressure, like water pressure is a lot stronger than natural air pressure. And so to feel like held and
Yes.
pushed in, and then also to be able to, so like to have something meeting their like, resisting aura.
Right.
That feels really good. So for a manifester to be met, one of the experiments they can try out is to take a bath.
Yeah.
Not just a projector thing, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like non-sacrals, like generally you guys are horizontal. Like it needs to happen.
Horizontal
And
and water, for sure.
yeah. But I think the manifester in particular, it should be a necessity. And I feel like a lot of them have realized that. I'm not saying, other types or non-sacrals can't, none of the other ones can't do it, but I feel like there's an intention behind it for the manifester, and I feel like it's a serving for them. Like they need to receive because they're never receiving. They're just not in that state. And where the generator, they want to be constantly providing and giving and impacting and all that, but like that's not our role. Like it's not that you can't do it, obviously. All of As a human being, you can do whatever the fuck you want, first of all. Don't put yourself in a box. But it's like when you know your limitations, I feel like that's what human design really gifted me, an understanding of my limitations. I also have gate 60 in my unconscious moon. And I love that Richard Rudd in Gene Keys calls that your attractor. Because it is literally what I do for people is help people remove roadblocks and limitations that have been placed upon them or they've placed upon themselves. Yeah. Is there any la Okay, so let's I feel like we could probably talk for 5 years.
Probably could. We could do another one if you want.
yeah,
This
we
is
should.
fun.
But I wanted to ask you a couple things with reflectors that I feel like. So we talked about common misconception. We talked about disappointment, which I think is really important. And that really actually enlightened me a lot with the way you explained disappointment and it being based on expectations. And when I think about that in relation to my design side, which is reflector, that I've noticed the more times that I put expectations on situations or people, that does result in disappointment.
Right, because it robs me of the surprise in some ways. Not always, but a lot of the times it will rob me of the surprise.
So let's end on that. What would you say is surprise to a reflector? Let's end on that. I feel like let's end on a high note.
Surprise for me is like, obviously it's like a pleasant surprise. It's having someone that underpromises and then overdelivers. Right. It's demonstrations from the universe that everything is conspiring in my favor, regardless of my mental state, emotional state. So it's like it's a sense of destiny in the sense. And I've heard it said once that reflectors are the only ones that can be awake, right?
Yes, I've heard
And
that
part of
too.
the surprise for me personally as a heretic is the surprise that, hey, other people can actually be awake too. I'll keep it simple with that.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing. How would you explain the 28-day cycle to one, a person, but also to another reflector? Like I have a whole process that I explain to reflectors. I don't encounter too many, but I have worked with a number of them at this point. And I mean, I think every reflector should be following the transits. So what is your take on the 28-day cycle?
So I have a spectrum of like super logical, left-brained, whatever, your personality moon is, that should like always be a clock. And every time, for me, when we go to 48.5, we're that's the start of our cycle. And then the very left side, or sorry, right side brain of me is very much so like, just be a crazy person and track the moon. Like go and spend time out in the
What I
moonlight.
say.
Yeah. And so and I like to do a combination, and sometimes it's more yang than yin and one than the other. But generally speaking, when people, like invite me to do things, I kind of set that into like, I'll write it down, and I use Neutrino Design. Have you heard of that app?
Yep,
Yeah.
I have three apps, but that's one of my favorites, especially for the transits. I'm a transit junkie.
Big time. Yeah. So learning about the transits, but then I asked the developer to add a feature where we could add notes to it
Oh,
that
yeah.
are tagged by, so it's like you can turn off all of the transits except for the moon and then add notes in particular with that moon. And so one of the things that I've done is I've gone through a cycle with just the moon on. And I look at when my channels become active and the sequence of like, okay, channel of initiation is active, channel of structuring is active. And I kind of gave my, I infused a little creativity in terms of like, writing a 3 or 4 word kind of like phrase that incorporates the keynote from the channel. And then being able to look at them in a sequence, it's like, oh, so this is like how the song goes. I have inspiration and then it goes into like emotional processing and then like 3 days of emotional processing and then, goes into some like splenic health stuff. So I'm still dialing it in. And I think for me, one of the saving graces has been realizing that, that lunar cycle doesn't necessarily operate for me perfectly because I'm around so many other people.
Yes.
So it's
You
so
have
much
to
more for
factor that
me.
in.
Yeah, my journey has been so much more about, okay, how do I recognize and track not self and signatures of other people, because that affects me. That's more primary than
Yes.
the lunar cycle, because I'm never going to be, oh, not never, but it's very rare that I'm like, no one talks to me for days at a time, And so and I've also kind of abandoned trying to figure out and answer that question, who am I? Like, I've totally let go of that question because,
You can't.
it's like, I don't care. When I
Yeah.
have, it's always been taken away from me. And so I'm just like, you know what? I
Because
guess
you're
this doesn't belong to
everything.
me.
You're everything. How could a reflector that is like literally working through the G center? You're literally working from that area. That's like your zone. That's like your zone of genius, And it's like, you are a mosaic piece. You're everything and everyone you've ever experienced your entire life. So how could you identify with one trait? It's kind of boring if you ask me. And I'm talking to myself because I'm a freaking vessel of love, very defined G center. Okay. And I'm just like, I really take my hat off to you, open undefined G's, because that's, I feel like that is like the biggest gift, to just like It's not that I can't be other things, but it's like I got a very fixed identity. Okay. I have a very fixed path. Also, defined Gs have a very fixed path this life. I tried to go off of it when I was doing hair and makeup, and I got smacked back on it. And that's what got me into Kabbalah was after my accident doing hair and makeup physically, you know, as a third line and also a defined heart and G center. I was very stubborn about it. So I didn't allow myself to like fully deter off that path. It still was always working in some capacity, but I bumped into the Kabbalah Center. I accidentally applied there from through Craigslist, as you know, everybody in the like, you know, mid 2000s did, like getting jobs off Craigslist. And so I accidentally worked there, and you know, I realized I guess I'm not supposed to be doing this role. That was like almost like I had to find myself again through hair and makeup for the love of self. My unconscious son is gay 46. And so I felt like it had to come start with, because that's my starting point, right? It had to start with the love of the body for me to be able to move to the other side of the binary now, where like mentally, I'm like conceptualizing the love of self. And that's the state that I feel like I'm in now, is like the full passion of how in love with myself and life can I possibly be?
Well, maybe ask me how much I love myself.
Okay, how much do you love yourself? Do you have gate 10?
Entirely. Like a 200 out of 10.
I feel like everybody should say that. You know, I do local expos here, and I live in Asheville, by the way,
Oh, cool.
North Carolina. And so I do lectures, and I'll ask everybody at the very beginning. My first question is, how many people here love themselves and love their life? And usually one person will raise their hand. And I'm just like, that is why I do this.
We're on the same mission, you and me. I'm
Yeah.
like, help people love and accept themselves.
That's what this whole, I mean, that's the whole point of being human, is remembering. It's like we're remembering like that we are already love. I have 20, the 25, you have the 51. That's literally the bridge. It's part of the mystical stream. You know the mystical stream? That runs from the 19 to the 49 to the 37 to the 40 to the 51 to the 25 to the 10 to the 20.
Sounds like a rap song.
Yeah, we could make a jam out of that. But this was so much fun. I really like, I would love to keep in touch, because I feel like, I don't know. I forget when I saw you on Instagram a while back. I'm just like, he's special. I didn't even know you were a reflector when I found you. And I feel like you don't share that often. And it was just like when I messaged you, I was like, oh, he's like, this is why I'm watching. Unknowingly knowing you were a reflector, I'm like, because I would every time, every this, you know what's so funny is every time I would see one of your videos pop up, I would say to myself, what the fuck is his design? Because I would usually, because I'm really good. I am. I'm just going to admit it. I'm really good at figuring out people's designs. I'm very tapped in. You know, I'm left brain, left mind. I'm an open throat. I laser focus into people's truths, and then it just like pulls out. But for you, I was like, I cannot figure it out. I'm like, I'm 99% sure he's non-sacral. And I'm like, he works at this really rapid rate of pumping out content after content after content, which I notice a lot of like non-sacrals go one of two ways. They're either full force, they're like literally on social media 24/7, or you never see them.
Me and my partner are like that. She has no social medias. I'm the king.
Yeah. So I was just like, this, it was so cool to figure out that you eventually, now I know, are a reflector, because I'm like, I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, that's what should have told me that he's probably a reflector. But you know, most people aren't going to guess reflector because you're everything. That's usually when I need to be like, well, probably a reflector then. But I rarely ever get that
That's your cue.
opportunity.
That's your cue.
Is there any last words you would like to leave our audience with? Maybe some 3-5, some hereticness that you think the world or the world needs to know. You are the meter that tests everything. So.
I think we're doing all right as humans. You know, I think there's a lot of, or I see a lot of people talking about, 2027 is coming, the window is closing. I think we're doing all right. I think that's what I want to leave everyone with. It's like,
Yeah, we are doing all
there's such terrible stuff going on in the world, but in the most of the world, like, nature is just so at peace.
we should
Nature is
take
so natural, baby. She's,
we need
I
to take a
mean,
lesson from nature.
yeah, exactly. Go be a crazy person and lay naked underneath the moon.
As the reflector leaves that with the last note. Naked under the moon. Well, you heard it here first, guys. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you to our audience for listening to this. I'm sure you guys found some sort of jewel or gem in this hidden mine of conversation. And we'll see you guys over on the next one.
Aloha.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of our podcast on the Human Design and Astro Club. We hope you have found the information insightful and useful. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving us a review and sharing it with your friends and family. We love to hear from our listeners, so feel free to reach out to us with any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.